I thank the Lord for his faithfulness and his mercies. You saw what the Lord is doing in the land of Africa, more specifically in the land of Malawi, for the last 8 years. Lord has given us privilege to serve him for the last 27 years, 13 years in Africa, in Kenya, Tanzania, and Malawi. And out of that, for the last 7, 8 years, Lord has given us a wonderful opportunity to work in Malawi. So what that is happening in Malawi for the last 7, 8 years from the starting of the work until now, that's what you have seen. So when I stand here, I am reminded of Apostle Paul's words to Philippians. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you for your fellowship in the gospel from day one onwards. I am coming first time here in Edmunds Lane, but I've been here a couple of times on Wednesdays. I don't know whether you know this, but some of you might. So this church has a speciality. There are more people involved in our mission from this church than any other church in the world. There are more people visited our mission field from Edmunds Lane than any other church. There is more involvement and participation from this assembly than any other church. Right from the word go, you have seen in the picture. Starting of the church in 2009, December 25. You saw a nice looking young man sitting under the tree. I don't need to tell his name. Now he's not that, after 8 years, he's not that young man. And he was there a couple of times, very initially, always encouraged us, Vinoji, it is good to start something in a strategic place. And we moved our mission. It was in a semi-jungle initially. We moved our mission to the near the capital. And that's where all you have seen. God has given us a land which is barren and flat, almost 3 acres of land. There are so many things going on. So we just want to acknowledge your prayers and support and involvement. I don't want to mention all the family names. There are many families involved. You have seen in the picture, and those who are not in the picture, and we thank God for that. And every church needs to be a missionary church. I think that's the biggest problem among the brethren. But thank God that this is a missionary church. I'm not just boasting. I think proudly I'm saying that's the biggest problem of the brethren, I believe. And that's what Jesus said. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. So God has brought us here 4 years before, and we focus on the Lord, and we continue to go back and forth. I don't know how many times I've been to Malawi, maybe more than 35 times, but every year, more than 3 times, I make sure that I'm there. Joyce comes 2 times. One good thing that has happened, every time I go, there are brethren to come with us. That's a positive side of the mission. We thank God for that encouragement. So we were there almost 40 days, December, Jan, and God willing, I'm going to go back on March 9th for 3 weeks, again in June for a few weeks, and again in November. And just a few words about the very recent trip. You know that George P. John Engel and Dr. George Samuel Engel, Rogers Paul all came, other than both of us. And in 13 years, first time we started something, as you have seen, hygiene and health class. We wanted to do a medical camp, but we had limitations from the government. So we just did something very basic, health and hygiene class. 3 places we could do it. More than 300 people turned in, and we gave some gift as paste and soap and toothbrush because they can always ask for that. And after they know, when you talk about hygiene, you need to take bath every day so they can come to you and say, well, we don't have money for soap. So that kind of, but we could reach more than 300 people. And we can still do it. And the Bible school, as you have seen in the picture, there are 8 students studying. We just started in last September. It's going on very well. And there are potential for hundreds of assemblies. All in 13 years, God has used us to start 13 assemblies in Kenya, Tanzania, and Malawi. Within the mission center, we have 4 assemblies. Every year, we are aiming at least 1 or 2 churches. And we are starting the work, outreaches, building the church, and you know, getting to our people. And Lord is doing miraculous things. And you have seen the VBS, last VBS, first VBS, you know, undertaken by the Dallas team, 350 kids, and more than 70 kids got saved. The last one, we had, you know, how many people? We had 400 plus kids, 90 kids got saved. So children's ministry is going on. Every day in the compound, there are 100 plus kids. Can you imagine? You just get out of the mission house. Okay, come on, let's do something. There are 100 plus kids. The opportunity, the freedom, the usefulness, the fruitfulness. Sometimes why we are not useful? Because we are in a comfort zone. But you get out of your comfort zone, be in an uncomfortable zone, but many of us don't want to do that. Even your presence can make a difference. That's what's happening in Malawi. And God is doing so many things. We have preschool, outreaches, Jesus film, and so many things going on. God has used these brothers who just visited us in a very wonderful way. And they have taught in the Bible school and outreaches, preach. We had a corner meeting, outreach. More than 500 tracts we distributed. Right there, one young man got saved. And probably many others committed their life to Jesus. So because of the time limitation, I don't want to say too many things about the work. You are saying it, you are praying for it. And we just want to thank you and we request your continued prayers. This morning, I would just like to talk about an important phrase that is found in the Old Testament. God of Elijah. So in fact, this is a question asked by one of his disciples, Elisha, when crossing River Jordan. So when faced with a difficulty, he asked this question, where is the God of Elijah? When we are faced with a challenge, when we are faced with a difficulty, when we are going through sickness and tragedies, we also sometimes ask the same question, where is the God of Elijah? In Elijah's own words, I've been serving the Lord zealously all these years. Why me? Why it is happening to me? When things are not happening in our way, we may ask certain questions to God. And when things are happening against our wish, we may ask questions. Elisha is asking a question, where is the God of Elijah? Dear friends, we are still living because of his grace and faithfulness, mercies. Because of our rebellious nature, he would have taken our life, but he did not do that. Because of our ungrateful heart, he would have punished us many a times, but he did not do that. We are still alive because of his faithfulness. God of Elijah is a powerful God. God of Elijah is a miracle-working God. God of Elijah is a compassionate God. So we are still witness to his grace and compassion and his mercies. Elijah was called to serve God in one of the darkest times in Israel's history. See, imagine the time of David. That is supposed to be one of the good times, golden times in Israel's history. But Elijah was called to serve maybe 100, 200 years after that. One of the most difficult times, one of the most darkest times in Israel's history. Look at the king. He is supposed to be a representative of God. And he is the most wicked king. He had a wife. She was one of the most evil ladies. Look at the combination, good combination, right? And it is during that time Elijah was called to serve God. And he was a note to comfort, but with a confronting message. And he was carrying out God's ministry, God's mission all alone. At times he was desperate and depressed. And he was saying at one time, I am alone. And they seek to take my life. And isn't it wonderful to see that such a man of God, great man of God, after accomplishing so many things, which nobody has accomplished ever in Christendom. And look at that, I'm alone. That's what he thought. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, we think that we are all alone. But are we alone? We are not all alone. He is desperate. He is fearful. He is not seeing any way forward. I am all alone. They seek to take my life. Probably some of you remember what has happened in Oregon, Portland. Those bakery people. Because of their conviction, they were devoid of their business. They had to shut it down, liberal state. And it was very difficult for them initially. I don't know their status now. But this is what happened. And within a few days, they got hundreds and thousands of letters. And many of the letters are the checks. A lot of encouraging cards. Thousands of people were behind them and praying for them. And they knew that they are not all alone. You can check the status. I haven't done that. But God has done great things. They felt that they are not alone. There are thousands and even millions of people are behind them. They stood for their conviction. His single-minded vision, Elijah. His single-minded commitment and life-risking adventures have made him one of the most popular of all the prophets. And even God was referred, God's name was the God of Elijah. God would like to be known by the adjective. And God wants to work through our life. And he wants to be called the God of Vinoji. Can that happen? He wants to be called God of Ashley. Can that happen? And God would like to be known by the adjective, God of Elijah. And his prominence is seen by the fact that he was caught up. And a few times he prayed that I might die. We will come to that later. And what a great thing. But God said that you are not going to die. And his life is a proof for resurrection. And James says he was a man with nature like us. He was not an extraordinary man. He was an ordinary man who was used in an extraordinary fashion by the power of God, by the grace of God. And again we read that the greatest man here on the face of this earth, he had the spirit of Elijah. So the passage that we are thinking about, 1 Kings chapter 17, 18 and 19, we are just going to think about a few things what has happened through this Lord's servant. First of all, we see 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, we see a great proclamation. What is that? It says that, there shall not be any dew nor rain except at my word. This is very serious. This is very critical. This is very humanitarian. There can be a humanitarian crisis. He's saying that except at my word, there is not going to be any rain, nor dew. Today he would be arrested, put on trial, and put in jail. In fact, King Ahab tried to do that, but he was not successful. What Elijah did, two things that we avoid. What are they? Risking his life and taking the blame. Everybody wants to play on safe ground, but not Elijah. As a prophet of God, he must speak on behalf of God. No matter what happens to his life, he risked his life. Look at the boldness. He just went into King Ahab and said, proclaim this message. He went by himself. He did not send the message. Before whom I stand, he is representing God. And Baal was supposed to be the god of harvest and rain. And they were praying to Baal instead of the living God. But he wanted to prove otherwise, the God of Israel is the living God. And he proved that God of Elijah is still alive. And living God. And he spoke on behalf of God. nothing. He hid nothing. He spoke God's message, the proclamation of God, we see in chapter 17, verse 1. And then as we move on, we see the provision of God. After proclaiming this great message, it's not proper for him to stay over there. And God asked him to move on and get away. This is what exactly God said. Get away from this place. Where? To Kerith. I have commanded the ravens to take care of you. So it is not wise to stay in that place after bringing such a curse on King Ahab and the whole nation. And God is asking him to move away, get away. It is good to get away sometimes to reflect on God's faithfulness. When we become so busy, we don't have time to think, right? So this is a good time for Elijah to be away a little bit, to reflect on God's faithfulness and his beauty and the wondrous creation of God. And Bible says that God will not send us to a place where his grace is not followed. And he will not send us to a place without making a provision for us. God asked him to go to Kerith. What a beautiful place. Look at the ambience, the natural provision of water. And also God's supply of meat, bread and meat. Look at the ravens. They are non-vegetarians. And maybe a few times they tried to steal this food, but they did not, because God commanded them to take it to the prophet, and also they were in obedience to God. And they were unclean. God used that unclean raven. And that beautiful setup, he was there for a few days. And God, Jesus said, if you don't speak, these stones will speak. It is not the ravens who are supposed to take care of God's people. It is God's people who should take care of God's servant, the prophet of God. But there can be some exceptions sometimes. And God will use the exceptions for his glory and for his honor. So God is making a provision and asking him to go to Kerith. And after a few days, what has happened? You know that. That beautiful situation, God has taken out. Sometimes we become very complacent, right? When things are too comfortable, the negative side that can happen to our life, we become too complacent. And we become useless. And he might have said that, Lord, this place is a good place. What a place. I am so far from King Ahab. He cannot find me. Beautiful flow of water. And ravens coming every day, morning and evening. Look at the timings. They did not stop because of the command of God. And God is taking him to another place, Zarephath. And what we must understand, sometimes the sources will dry. And our dependence is not on Zarephath or Kerith. People once supported may not support you. People who stood with you sometime, they may not stand with you all the time. But remember that God is faithful. God is using different means. That is how it works. And God wants to prove his glory. And Bible says that, for mountains will depart and hills be moved, but my loving kindness will not go away from you. I am so many times encouraged by this verse. Mountains shall depart and hills be moved, but my loving kindness will not go away from you. That is a promise of God. Look at the prophet of God. He is taken to Zarephath. And what happened there? Probably asked, Lord, why did you take me to this place? There are no other place to take me to a widow who doesn't have anything, a widow who is completely broke. There is nothing. And on his way, he saw this widow. And he said, give me some water. As she was moving, he said, give me a bread also. So she turned around and said, so we have little flour left in my bin. So we just want to make a bread and give it to my son and myself, and we just want to eat. Look at the desperation there, dear friends, my brothers and sisters. So people usually eat for what? To live, right? She is saying that we just want to eat to die. Look at the desperation. There is no way forward, she can see. But she obeyed God. She honored God. That's the most important thing. I believe many of our parents, grandparents, great grandparents have done the same thing, right? And even when they did not have milk to give to their kids, when a servant of the Lord came, they gave them milk. I'm talking about what has happened in our place 40 years, 50 years, even 30 years. So they honored God and they have seen the result. Just look at this widow. And probably, you know, we try to give to our children. She did not say that, let me give to my son, because he might die. Even without eating food, he died a little bit later, right? But God has brought his servant to do a great miracle. A simple faith, what has caused? Things have turned around. Max Lucado said, the greatest thing in our life is to have a signature from God on our lives. We all are believers. We all are believers and wonderful believers. But do we have the faith to trust in God? Do we have the faith to give our life at the point of line of duty? And we all want to be comfortable, so we become useless. And look at Elijah. He wanted to give his life. Look at this lady. She is throwing her life on the line of duty. And she just exactly did the way prophet has said. And the blessings you see in her life. So the provisions of God. And God made a wonderful provision for Elijah. The third we see the presentation. This has happened after 3 years. And God has asked him to go back to King Ahab. But he is reluctant. He is too afraid. He is saying, Obadiah, can you please take this message and go to Ahab's palace? But he was not willing, first of all. And this servant of God, Obadiah, says, my Lord, what sin I have committed that you are sending me to the palace? What wrong I have committed? Because everybody is afraid of him. Even Elijah is afraid of the king. That shouldn't happen. And he forgot his own words. What did he say? Except at my word, right? And he must go himself and present himself before God. That's what the Bible says. And the word, angel of the Lord said, you go yourself and present before King Ahab. And when King Ahab saw him, what is he telling? Oh, here comes the troubler of Israel. That's his understanding about the prophet of God. That's his understanding about a servant of God, right? Oh, here comes the troubler of Israel. And he said, it is not me. You are the one who is troubling God's people. Anyway, he is presenting himself. And then there is a great showdown proving that God of Israel is the right God, living God, mighty God at Mount Carmel. So because of time, I'm not going into any detail. And people are brought in, two sides, from morning till evening. Great things are happening. Two sides of sacrifices. This morning we heard about the sacrifice. Nothing is happening. Then Elijah knelt down and prayed to the living God. You know what has happened. It's a famous story to each one of us. God is proving that he is the living God. At Mount Carmel, there's a great showdown. And this was one of the greatest tests in Elijah's life. But God has proved that he is almighty and living God. So as the last one, we see the protection of Elijah. That's found in chapter 19. After all these things have happened, what is happening? He is saying some negative things. Lord, I want to die. I might die. Take my life. I am not better than my fathers. And he's saying that it is enough. After seeing God's hand, after doing all these wonderful things, after being used by God, the problem is Jezebel took an oath that she said that she is going to kill prophet of God and throw his dead body to the dogs. And he is afraid, he is depressed, he is intimidated, and he sees no way forward. The lowest moment in his life, God is showing the highest thing. What is that? And God is telling that I have reserved how many people? 7,000 people who haven't bowed their knees to Baal. Praise the Lord. And this is what he was expecting. Then he could have asked God, why didn't you reveal this earlier? For the last 3.5 years, 4 years, 5 years, I was waiting for this to hear. I thought, I am all alone. There is nobody along with me. I am taking this service, this mission all alone. Lord, you should have told me before. No, he cannot say like that. You need to trust in God. You must trust in God. 7,000 people. It's like a big battalion, right? Like a reserve force. God is reserving a battalion, a reserve armed force for his protection, for the people of God. And he did not know about that. Can you imagine? In such a wicked place, in such a wicked situation, God is preserving these many people. It's not few hundreds. It is few thousands. What a great thing. The lowest moment in his life has become the highest moment in his life. Dear brothers and sisters, God is making a wonderful provision for the prophet of God. Sometimes we also think that everything is lost. We are too afraid. When we are afraid, we try to put others also in trouble, just like prophet of God Elijah. But let us depend on God. And let us trust in God. And see in the great works of God. And we know that he wanted to die a few times, but he did not die. And God said, after eating this food, and there was bread, you eat this, you have a long way to go. Sometimes we think that my life is over. But God is not done with you. At any age, at any time, God can work with people. God is not done with Elijah. He thought that his life is going to be over within a few days. And he is too much afraid of that lady, which is not supposed to be. And God is saying, God is revealing the sweet surprise, great surprise. You know that? I have reserved 7,000 people for you. Nothing can happen to you. Not only that you are going to die, I'm going to take you away. What a great thing. And he traveled 40 more days with that strength of God. And sometimes we think that, oh, he has been serving the Lord for so many years. Why this has happened to him? And he himself said, I'm zealously serving the Lord all these years. When this lady's incident came, he was too afraid. But God is in control. And he is taking care of things. And nothing can happen without his permission. And God is protecting his servant. And he is taken away. What a life. And he is proclaiming God's message. And God is making provision for it. And God is also presenting himself before God and King Ahab. And God is proving that he is the living God. So God is giving the protection. What a wonderful life. Sometimes we also pass through this difficult situation. We may also ask the same question. And where is the God of Elijah? Sometimes we may have to face things all alone. That's what happened to Elisha. When he was crossing over River Jordan, prophet was there. There was no difficulty. He just put his cloak and it was divided. And he did not even think about that. But he was taken away. And when he was coming back, the same river is in front of him. There is no Elijah. What are you going to do? But God gave him the sense what to do. And Elijah told him what to do. There he saw the miracle. So he asked, where is the God of Elijah? We may also ask the same thing, but God of Elijah is there. He's a miracle-working God. We are still alive because of him, because of his grace, because of his mighty works. We can still rely on him. God is not done with any one of us. 60s, 70s, even 90s. Last week I heard that from our elder, a person who was 94 years old. He shared the gospel and he got saved. What a wonderful thing. Anytime, any situations, we can trust in this God, God of Elijah. May his name be glorified. Thank you so much for this opportunity that is given to me, and also continue to pray for the mission that we are engaged in, and also for my family. Thank you. God bless you all.